Moms, you are special. We all know you're special. And everybody in here has a mother somewhere. And we all know we hold that in common, moms and dads. And we want to be the best parents we can be. But you know, for moms have an extra pressure because they're supposed to be perfect, right? Moms their kids, as their kids start out, moms, they think that you know everything. And you do, you just hide some of that knowledge from them, you know. So now and then you'll say, I don't know. And then as they grow, they wonder if you know anything. And then they come to that stage again when they realize that you did know everything and they wish they'd listened to you. But that's just part of being a parent, isn't it? To verify this, this was interesting. I found a survey. It was actually done in the United Kingdom, but that's another thing about motherhood. Moms are moms wherever they are. And in the United Kingdom, some researchers quizzed 1,000 mothers, because they kind of figured that moms were the people on the planet who were asked more questions over a lifetime than anybody else. Have you ever thought about that? Moms are quizzed, asked questions pretty much all their lives. So they quizzed 1,000 mothers. They researched them and said, and what they found was, on average, from breakfast to mid-afternoon, the average stay-at-home mom faces one question every 2 minutes and 36 seconds. That adds up to, moms, that adds up to 105,120 questions a year from your children. No wonder you're tired. And during meal times is when you get the most questions. And if you have a 4-year-old girl, that's right, a 4-year-old girl asks an incredible 390 questions a day. On the other end of the spectrum, the kids least likely to ask any question are 9-year-old boys. Now, according to the survey, here are the top 5 toughest questions mom listed in order. Okay, the top 5 questions. I'm going to go from number 5 to number 1. These are the toughest questions mom said that they face from their children. Number 5, how do fish breathe underwater? Number 4, why is the sky blue? Number 3, what are shadows made of? Number 2, mom, where does the sky end? And the number 1 hardest question that moms say they are asked is, mom, why is the water wet? Why is the water wet? Well, of course, moms are supposed to know everything. The kids think they do, but they don't. We don't know everything. We just know that God knows everything. We know God created everything, so we'll let God worry about the rest of those things. And parents make mistakes. If parents did not make mistakes, we would not have the story of Adam and Eve in the Bible. That's just the truth. But parents do make mistakes, and moms make mistakes. And Eve made mistakes that, as we're going to see in just a few minutes, we can learn from. Did you know that the Bible refers to Eve as the mother of all living? The mother of all humanity. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20, we are told that Adam named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. Now, what you may not realize is that statement is made, chapter 3, verse 20, after Adam and Eve have sinned and their sin has been judged. It's one of many statements in the book of Genesis in those first few chapters in which God shows His grace, in which God reminds the first couple and the first family that though they have sinned, that though they have made mistakes, that God still loves them and they still have a place in His plan. And you can imagine what it was like for Eve to be the first mom and the mother of all the living. Mom, Eve had it exactly like every woman wants it. She did. She had the perfect home, quite literally in Eden. She was living in the perfect paradise on planet Earth. She had her husband, and she knew that he had no one else to look at. Nobody, no other woman was going to wander through the garden. It was just Adam and it was Eve. She didn't care if he snored in the morning. She thought he always smelled good because she didn't know any different. She had the paradise that all mothers and all women want, that all women want before she became a mom, and then ultimately she became a mom and the mother of all the living. But what happened after that is that her whole world unraveled. Her ideal beginning dissolved into one of the most tragic stories in all of history. A series of events, step by step, sadness, tragedy, filled the Garden of Eden. And yet, right behind it, every time, God brought in hope. God brought in love. God brought in sacrifice. God brought in grace. Even through a series of events of tragedy, God filled their lives with hope. And that's much like our lives are today. Our lives go from one step to another, sometimes joy, sometimes sorrow. Everything is wonderful with our kids, and sometimes things are awful. But behind it all, we have a loving and gracious God who always has hope, who always has the future in his hands, who always cares for us. And that's what I want us to consider this morning. In Eve's story, God constantly reminds us that while there is tragedy in life, there is always hope. And that God is always there, that God always loves us and always shows us grace. So this morning, that's what we're going to do. We want to learn from the mother of the living, from the mother of all mothers, from the first one who had the job. We want to learn some lessons from Eve about motherhood and parenthood, and along the way about simply being the person that God wants us to be, and how we can all apply this to our lives. So if you have your Bible, find the book of Genesis and chapter 3. And we're going to walk through some verses together and just simply learn some lessons from the Garden of Eden, lessons from Eve, from the mistakes that she made as paradise started to unravel and what she learned along the way. These are things we should never forget, things that are ingrained into human nature, into our relationship with the Lord, into our relationship with our children, and our relationship with each other. There are lessons that we can learn from Eve. So let's go there. Lesson number one, nurture your own faith first. Nurture your own faith first. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'You may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it, or you will die.' 'No, you will not die,' the serpent said to the woman. 'In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Either Eve wasn't listening to God when he gave his instructions, she misunderstood God, or she deliberately twisted what God had said. Because when she quotes back to the serpent, to Satan, what God had said, she just gets it wrong. Now, the key to look at this is she and Adam had both heard the same thing from God. But once confronted with temptation, once confronted with the opportunity to step away, they don't know what the Bible says. She doesn't know, or she misunderstands, or she deliberately twists what the Bible actually, what God had actually said, what the Word of God actually was. And the simple point is, parents, if you and I are going to lead our families and teach our children, we have to be nurturing our own faith first. Moms, you can only take your kids as far in their faith as you have gone. You can only get them as deep in the Bible as you are going. You can only teach them what you have learned and what you already know. In short, always be sure to nurture your own faith first. This also protects you from temptation and from failure and from misunderstanding. If God's Word is out in front of you and you've learned it and you apply it, pass that along to your children. But make sure you're nurturing your faith first. It's very difficult as parents, isn't it, to handle the stress and the strain of life anyway. It's difficult anyway, but it's nearly impossible if we're not spending time with the Lord in prayer and in the Bible to begin with. How do we know what to apply to our lives and the lives of our children if we're not spending time with God? So moms, parents, and all of us, always nurture your own faith first. Spend time in the Bible. You know, I commend moms for bringing their kids to church. I commend moms for making sure their kids are in Sunday school. I commend moms for making sure your kids have what they need to read, that they have their own Bible. Good for you. You're nurturing their faith. But are you nurturing your own faith first? Are you studying the Bible? Are you in a Bible study? Are you in Sunday school? Are you reading things that will nurture and strengthen your faith first before you try to pass that along? So the lesson from Eve, to avoid failure, to make sure we know the Word of God, is to nurture our own faith first. Secondly, second lesson, respect the influence that you possess. Respect the influence that you possess. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at it, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. Very simply put, moms, you have more influence in your home with your spouse and with your kids than you may even realize. Adam had heard the same instructions from God. And we could spend a little time talking about Adam, the fact that he didn't step up and make any corrections, but I think it's instructive to see that he did what Eve told him to do. He took the fruit also. I wonder if Eve had any idea she had that kind of influence, not only over Adam, but that her influence would have such a long-term impact on their lives and on every human being to come. You have great influence, Mom. You need to be prayerful about your influence, careful about your influence, wise with your words, because, Mom, you have a lot of influence in that home. And I can tell you, your husband, your kids, they care what you think. They care how you feel about them. They care what you say, and they care how you say it. Because whether you realize it or not, you have a great deal of influence in that home. Time magazine published its 100 most influential people, a list of influential people, 100 most influential people. You'll be just delighted to know that among the 100 most influential people that Time magazine, it says, on planet Earth are Miley Cyrus, Seth Meyers, Venus Williams, Beyonce is number one. Other great and not so great personalities out there. Isn't it kind of odd that there's not one mom on the list for being a mom? Because truth be told, influence is not about wealth or about power or about position in your world. Influence is about how you treat your kids, about the legacy you leave, about the words you say, about the influence you have right at home. And consider how many millions of people mothers have influenced over the years. How many millions of people have grown up to influence others, to shape society, to lead the Christian movement, the power of God working through them. How many millions of missionaries have been launched because they had a mom at home that influenced them for Christ. Mom, always respect the power, the influence that you possess right at home. Use it to inspire, use it to ignite, don't use it to bring guilt, use it to encourage, use it to strengthen. Don't use it to bring despair, to deflate, to degrade. Use it to strengthen your kids, to inspire them, to influence them to do great things for God. Lesson number three, appreciate the place that God has provided. Appreciate the place that God has provided. Now and then we all go through those moments when we wish we had more. We wish we had it different. We wish we had better things. Maybe we wish we had different spouse, different kids, different life. Maybe. But we all go through times when for a moment that fantasy flashes in our minds. Eve is a good reminder to be careful. Be careful not to appreciate what you have. The place God has put you, the place God has given you, includes the people that are in your life, and God has given you that. You and I are stewards of this moment, this place, and this time. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then verse 22. The Lord God said, since man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, he must not reach out, take from the tree of life, eat, and live forever. So the Lord God sent him away from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. Just like that, Adam and Eve lost the garden. Just like that. Just like that, this pristine, beautiful environment, perfection on planet Earth that had belonged to them, now they have to leave. And to me, that's a reminder for all of us. Always appreciate what you have. Don't look elsewhere. Look right at what God has given you, the people that God has put in your life, the home that God has provided for you, and never take that for granted. I hope we never do. Now, I don't want this to bring up issues of regret and guilt, but instead just to remind us that the life we have is a treasure. We shouldn't fantasize or flirt with other options. We need to look at the life and the place and the people that God has given us and ask ourselves, are we being good stewards, God stewards, of this family, this time, this spouse, these children in our lives? Pray for them, love them, encourage them, but listen, they are yours, and this is your place. Lesson number 4, trust God. Trust God to handle your children. Trust God to handle your children. Moms, children grow up, don't they? That influence you have over them in the home for a while, that you have learned again, been reminded again to respect that influence changes. Doesn't mean it lessens. They still want to hear what you have to say. They still want to be inspired and encouraged by you. They want to be strengthened by you. But children grow up, they move on, they live their lives, and sometimes, just maybe, they do things you'd rather they didn't do. Sometimes, just maybe, it might even get worse than that. You ever thought about Eve's life? Chapter 4 and verse 1 tells us, Adam was intimate with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have had a male child with the Lord's help. You can hear the joy in her heart, can't you? You can hear the joy in her life. You can hear the excitement of a baby boy being born. Surely she would have more children. We know that she had more children. We're about to learn about one of them. But here she expresses that excitement and that joy, that anticipation of what Cain could become as part of the first family. And the story fast forwards. Cain grows up, and in verse 8 of chapter 4 we read, Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's guardian? Then he said, what have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground, so now you are cursed, alienated from the ground that opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood that you have shed. Just like that, Eve's promise, the joy she had for Cain, the joy she has for Abel, crumbles into tragedy. Now I want you to notice that after verses 1 and 2 and until the end of chapter 4, Adam and Eve are not mentioned. They're not mentioned. Once Cain sins, God deals with Cain. Now, moms, I believe that's just a reminder for you and for me to never forget that God knows your children. God knows what they're doing. God is in their lives. God can confront them, and God can and will judge them if they sin against God. God treats your adult children like adult children. And sometimes you and I have to say, God, take care of this. God, take care of this. Because some things are out of our hands and out of our control. People make decisions, and our children are some of those people. and make those kind of decisions. And we wish we could be everywhere. Did you see the video on the internet of Toya Graham? Toya Graham is the single mom of six children, five girls and one boy, who lives in Baltimore, Maryland. And in April, she told her son, "Don't you dare go down there and participate in those riots. You go to school." Well, she found out from her daughter later that school had been canceled. The schools were closed because of what was happening. So she went down to where her son was supposed to have been to be picked up to come home. Instead, she located him throwing rocks at police officers. To say that she disciplined her son is an understatement. The video went viral of her dragging her son, slapping her son, saying loud things to her son, chasing him literally back to her car, disciplining him in the streets, and 2 weeks later being hailed on the internet as the world's best mom. But you know, folks, we can't always be there to catch our kids in the act, can we? We can't always be there. We won't always be there. But we can know that God is always there. God is always there. And whether your child is still in the crib or your child is grown and gone, moms and dads, surrender your child to the Lord. Surrender your child to the Lord. Do your part while God has you in their lives, and as long as He does and in what ways He does, you are still that child's mom. But remember, that child belongs to God. And God will take care of that child. The best thing we can do is to trust God in every situation. Finally, lesson number 5. Believe that God has hope for the future. Believe that God always has hope for the future. Interwoven through the story of Eve is God's hope, God's restoration, God's blessing. At the end of chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, read this with me. We are told that Adam was intimate with his wife again. She gave birth to a son. She named him Seth. For she said, "God has given me another child in the place of Abel, since Cain killed him." A son was born to Seth also, and he named him Enosh. And at that time, people began to call on the name of Yahweh. People called on the name of the Lord. Now, to you and I, that seems just like a quiet reference of another child being born, but it's not. It's a significant and powerful statement of the hope and the grace of Almighty God. Because first in it, we see that even though God had told Adam and Eve they had to leave the Garden of Eden, even though Eve had lost that pristine, perfect home, that life that she thought was hers, that life that she had treasured, it shows us again that God never left Eve. God never left Eve. God was always with her every step of the way. Even when one of her sons killed the other son, God never left Eve. And here God gives to her a child of hope and a child of promise. Here God reminds Eve that He is watching out for her. And here God reminds Eve that His plan for her and for Adam isn't finished yet. God gives Eve Seth. In the place of Abel. Through the bloodline of Seth is born a man named Enosh. And we learn right away that people begin to pray in the heritage and the lineage of Enosh. Suddenly, a brand new story is developed out of Eve's lineage. Suddenly, because she has this son of hope, this son of promise, people are communicating again with God. They're calling on the name of the Lord. It means they are praying to God. That's when it started, is when Seth was born, when Enosh was born. Then something else we learn happens. If we follow the story through the book of Genesis, Noah is in the bloodline of Seth. And you know who's in the bloodline of Noah? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Not only did God never give up on Eve, not only did God have hope for Eve, God took the story of their sin and used them in the story of redemption. God said, "You are still the mother of all the living, and I'm going to let life itself come from Eve and from her bloodline." Hope redemption and grace would come from Eve. Moms, your life may not be taking the trajectory you thought it would. Your children may not be behaving the way you thought they would, but I want you to remember God has hope for the future. God has hope for the future. It may be this morning, moms, you need to leave that past behind. Let God have that past. And maybe this morning you need to say to God, I'm going to let you have my children. Whatever age they are, whatever they're doing, God, I just want to surrender them to you. It may be that this morning you need to say to God, I'm looking at some tough times, but I know in you I have hope. I know in you I can put my faith. I know, God, you have grace for me for the future. And I know, God, that you can still use me and my family and your plan. God, you've got great things ahead. So this morning, moms, I want to encourage you to give that heartache to the Lord, that discouragement to the Lord, that past to the Lord. I want to encourage you to embrace the Lord's hope and say with faith, God, I trust you for my future and for that of my children. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to this time of closing this hour of worship, this celebration of life, this reminder of mistakes that we make, but the hope and the grace that you have, God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray in this time of response, Father, one, two, or three, Father, would come to faith in Christ today. I pray a mom who needs Christ would be saved today. I pray a child who's here with their mom would come to Christ today, would surrender everything to Jesus. And God, I pray for our moms. There may be decisions we need to make, commitments we need to make, surrender we need to take, Father, to give our kids to you. But Father, in this moment of response, I pray, God, you'd work in our midst, that in keeping you with your will, Father, we would respond to Christ just as you're calling us to do today. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.